Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on February 25th, 2025, during the fourth week of the series, My Brother's Keeper, a study in 1 and 2 Timothy, taught by Bible teacher Danny Hannon. Danny takes us through Timothy chapter 5, titled Instructions to the Church.
So I'm just going to cut right to the chase. It's going to be a little bit different, even different for me. So I'm definitely not used to having a big, pretty whiteboard and all that, trying to take a play out of Wayne Richter's playbook. But because I know he loves the whiteboard and he's going to enjoy hearing about this tomorrow. But when I was getting into chapter 5, who just loved chapter 5 of 1 Timothy? Yeah, there's a few of us, right? Like, woohoo, instructions to the church. All right, what's a widow? What's not a widow? How do I understand? What's the old man? What's the young man? Big fan of the double reward. Okay, guys, come on. Let that sink in, right? There we go. So big fan of that. But all along that I'm reading this, I was kind of just going, man, have we ensured as men, have we really made sure that we understand the context in which Paul is writing to Timothy? Okay, because I know, the reason he's writing to the church in Ephesus is also because, or the reason why it's important to us is because it also has implications to the church today, and even specifically to the men in this room. Because I think a lot of us can fall into some of the categories that Paul is talking about. So this is what I wanted to lean into tonight, is to cover that, because I want to make sure that we've given the proper context. So instead of diving into, ready, big word, an exegetical study, like what the heck? Okay, instead of breaking down word for word, verse by verse of chapter 5, I think it's better for us to relook at all of chapters 1 through 4 in order for us to really understand, or look at really chapter 1 to really understand chapters 2 through 5. Does that make sense? So we're not going to dive right into that. There's some things that I feel like, and I think that have been happening in this room and happening in our world that I have begun to see, and I want to make sure that we have addressed those and we've talked about them. And so we're going to start actually going back to chapter 1. And you're like, don't worry, I don't expect you. I don't have verses laid out. Don't pull out your Bibles. Just listen to me. Let's just be on a journey together, and I want to cover some basic points that we've got. So I'm going to be in chapter 1. If you do want to look at it again, feel free. But we're looking at starting in verse 3, okay? Verse 3 through 7. As I urge you, this is Paul writing, as I urge you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. Teach any different doctrine. Nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law. I want to emphasize that. Without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Let that sink in for a little bit, right? Desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding. Okay? All right. Then he goes on in verses 8. All right, verses 8 through what I have here, verses 8 through 11. All right, he continues. Now we know that the law is good. Big fan. What we're not going to talk about is like, oh, lawlessness is great. Not saying that. Paul clearly says the law is good if one uses it lawfully. See? Stipulation. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and the sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Anything that's contrary to sound doctrine. So, why do I want to discuss this? Because I have seen some things in our midst. I've heard of things in our culture. We see it all over the place, and it's something that I want to address. But I also want to make sure that I'm doing my best to address it in love. Okay, so there is no condemnation tonight, but I think it's a conversation that we need to have. Okay, we need to talk about this because 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy loaded with a lot of do's and don't's, look like this, don't do that, follow this, follow these rules, follow this regulation, it should look like this, it shouldn't look. I don't want us to get lost and the rules and the regulations. Because what we find ourselves in is what we would call today legalism. Who's heard that term, legalism? Okay? Not a fun term. Okay, so what is legalism? Here's how I would define it. Prioritizing religious rules and law above grace. Prioritizing religious rules and laws above and without grace. Okay? We don't want that. That is not what Paul is talking. Now, what you didn't hear me say is we're not talking about lawlessness. I'm not talking about like, oh, we should just ignore the law, right? No, Paul's not even saying that, right? I'm a big fan of Law and Order. Trust me, big fan, okay? But especially in the church, what are we emphasizing, okay? What are we trying to target, okay? And this, let me put it this way. Think, okay, man, I'm trying to wrap my head around this legalism. Okay, let's think of it this way, because we've talked about in the past, I think it was a couple semesters ago, it'd be if I go to you and or somebody says to me, Danny, well, in order to be a Christian, you've got to be circumcised. Okay, we've heard that before, right? And even Paul was like, wait a second. And you would be like, Danny, come on. We're not going to tell like the six-year-old man that just accepted Jesus, all right? But, you know, not going to happen, right? You're like, Danny, that's ridiculous. Okay, you're right. Like, so that doesn't work. What if you would say to me, okay, Danny, in order to be a Christian, or if you are a Christian, you can't have tattoos. Or if you accepted Jesus after you got a tattoo, then you got to get rid of your tattoos. See, there are people in the church wide that would say that's correct. Okay? But most of you guys be like, come on, Danny. Like, we would never say that. Like, that's crazy. Not in this culture. We wouldn't say that. We know that it's not about your appearance and this, that, and the other. Okay. Now I'm going to take it one step further. And by the way, this is convicting to me too, guys. Okay? There's no condemnation from the stage here. This is convicting because I found myself recently with some of these thoughts. It's what do we do with these thoughts? You ready for this? All right, here we go. Let's be honest. Christian worship should not have a fog machine. Some of us have thought it. Some of us have said it. Christian worship should have communion. If you are worshiping Jesus, you should have your hands raised. You should be standing. A true worshiper would stand, not sit. Okay? You see where I'm going with this? We have these things. A Christian needs, and this is one of my favorite ones, a Christian needs to do, to follow the law because Jesus did. Or the worst, a Christian should do away with the law because of Jesus. Right? You see, we all of a sudden start shaping our own rules and regulations onto. But the reality is maybe we no longer judge someone's salvation based on appearance, but we sure as heck do it on performance. Right? Do you read your Bible enough? Do you go to church enough? Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you been circumcised? Like, we go through these things based on performance. And this is what I want to challenge ourselves with, because what I'm going to dive into, and you're thinking, what is this whiteboard? We're going to get into some deep terms that I think it's important for us to understand, because guess what? All of us are on a different journey. And my state of my journey, the position that I'm on, I can't look backwards and down the mountain to the man who's one step below and goes, well, you're not where I'm at because I figured it out, but I'm going to hold you to the standard of which I am at. So you're not saved because I'm here and you're not there. You hear where I'm going with this? And we can find ourselves reading books like 1st and 2nd Timothy or all of the Old Testament and go, well, you're not doing this, so you must not be saved. The reality is that we're on a different journey. We're on the same journey. We're on a different step of the path, okay? All of us are at a different spot. And so when Paul's talking about the overseers and the deacons and the this, he's basically saying, some of you are here and some of you are up here, and it needs to look this way. Because inevitably, we all need to be going that same direction. But I can't look down and go, well, you're not a believer because you're still there and I'm here. All right? Well, what happens to the guy who's above you? I said, well, I've been doing this for 40 years, so maybe you don't actually understand. So this is what I want to get into. There's something that we call the three stages of man. This is going to be exciting. You guys are going to love it, I promise. Three stages of man. This is actually reflecting our faith. And I think this is what's important. I'm going to move this around so we can see. This is important for us to understand how this works The reality is all of us at some point, this is what it would look like, right? Consider it like a mountain, okay? Again, men are always climbing a summit, right? We like climbing summits. We like accomplishing stuff. So let's consider it going upwards, all right? Here we go. So the first state, guess what, guys? All of us, at some point in our journey of faith, this is where we've been. Lost. What do I mean by lost? I don't mean to be insulting. I'm not calling you ignorant. But the reality is we are ignorant of our sin. Okay, that's what lost means. Ignorant of my sin. Okay, so that's what it is. We all tracking? So at some point, all of us have been ignorant of our sin. We just didn't know any better. We probably didn't care. But then But then somewhere along the way, we start to realize, see, sin's calling, letting him know. So somewhere along the way, we have an interaction and something happens and all of a sudden we go, holy crap, I am a hot, broken mess that has done a lot of wrong. Something reveals to us, which guess what that is? The law. The law tends to reveal how broken we really are or the mistakes that we've really made. So the next one that we would call is called the fear. Okay, this is what we call fear of God. I know you're like, what does that even mean? The reality is this, again, this is not condemnation. What happens is this is kind of living in your Old Testament. This is living in this condemnation, this I am more afraid of God than I am in love with God. Are y'all tracking with me? I am more afraid. You're afraid of God's wrath. And the reality is, guys, is this is an inevitable step. But it can be as fast as a moment before you move on, because through this stage, you get to this where like, oh my God, like God is going to be so angry with me and I'm so broken. And it's like, I realize just what a hot mess I am. But thank God, Jesus. So this is where we're going. You instantly move. The truth though is some of us get stuck here. We get stuck. And we live in a world where we're more afraid of God than we are in love with him. Okay? And this is where we then want to jump and we want to continue into what Paul talks about in verses 12 through 14, which is what I want to highlight. Before we look at this final stage, Paul says this, I thank him who has given me strength. Who is that? Come on, brothers, who gives him strength? Jesus Christ, all right? Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithfully, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorant in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Mercy overflowed. All right. So he realized, Paul said himself, I was a persecutor, I was judgmental, I was an insolent opponent. He was afraid of God. He'd been fighting against him. But then he realized in Christ. So this is the final stage. Love. And what do we call that? Here's the big churchy term for you. Evangelical. Y'all heard it? Some of you yes, some of you no. What is evangelical? Why do we use that term? Guess what? If you love Jesus, you're an evangelical. And here's why we know what the definition of evangelical. It is saying, first and foremost, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that he died for my sins. Gospel, right? Gospel. The second piece is I want more to know about it. I can't keep this to myself. I want others to hear the gospel. I want others to step into this relationship. So when you experience love, you cannot not be an evangelical when you've experienced the love of Christ, because you want others to know about it. This is the inevitable next step. All of us have to get up to this point, okay? This is what Paul is kind of talking about with the church of Ephesus, because what was happening? They were allowing the culture to shape Jesus instead of Jesus shaping the culture, all right? It was infiltrating into the church, and so Paul has to begin reframing it and shaping it and say, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what brothers in Christ are to look like. This is how you are to serve. If you were really following, if you were really in love with God, this is what it would look like. Okay, so what was happening in the church of Ephesus is they're on this journey and they're going up and everything's working out, and they were a baby church, right? So we can put a little baby right here. They were a baby church that was just starting to discover what it was that they were doing, and they're moving up and they realized that the law convicted them. But then at this stage, instead of going upward, they started changing the gospel to fit them. They started shaping it, right? They were bringing in things that they were not supposed to. They were literally allowing culture to shape who Jesus was. So this is why Paul would say, from this moment, they went back down to this plane. They went back to being lost. If you're reshaping Jesus, you're giving a whole different message, a whole different story of who he was, you're going back to ignorance. That's the truth. And so Paul is trying to say, whoa. I need you guys to keep heading this way. And to do that, I've got a few men, okay, a few brothers that are overseers and deacons. You're going to let them lead the way because they can hold the faith. Okay, it's okay if you're here for now. Don't stay here. Keep moving up. But those who are going to lead the charge are the ones who are already here that understand what it is to hold both the law and love in tandem, right? It takes grace and it takes wisdom. Is everybody tracking with me right now? We good? Okay, so now to close out, I'm going to talk about what it is for Faithbridge men, which is why this has been on my heart, okay? And this is really where I'm trying to take this whole thing. And I want to share a little bit of my story because I want to go back to this point right here before we get into the Faithbridge men. Okay, this is my journey, guys. When I say that this is how it goes, I've experienced this firsthand, okay? Yeah, I may have maybe been 8 years old when I was really lost, maybe a little less lost, right? So as I start to age, right? And this may be where I would call like probably my college years, right? College and early 20s. The reality is, the reason I put a cross here is, guess what? My salvation was assured and secured in Jesus Christ. No questions. However, the reality of it was, is I was more afraid of God's wrath for my own shame and guilt of the mistakes that I had made than I was trusting his love. When he says, Danny, do you trust that I love you? I would ask questions like, do you think God's going to punish me for the things that I've done? I believe that I was saved. But I was living in this space. I was stuck until it was brothers that said, man, you got to keep moving upwards. You got to start to see who Jesus is and what he wants of you. And so I progressed into a fear, into a total surrendered love and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And then that's when you feel the freedom. And then you can't not go, come on, guys, you got to get up to the top of this mountain. Do you see the crystal clear blue skies that are up here? It's incredible, right? You're trying to pull them up. So this is my journey. So reason I want to talk about it is because, guys, that is what's happening in the men of Faithbridge right now. I firmly believe it. But all of us, this is what I said, there's no condemnation here. All of us are at a different stage of this journey. And guess what? It is okay. But what I want to challenge you on is to say, if you're actually here or maybe a little here, don't pretend to be here. The damage that we can cause when we're not honest with ourselves. So at Faithbridge men right here, we do have the lost. I'm going to call it believers like mine. And don't judge me on my spelling. I always screw up that word. Anybody else get the E and the I? I always receive and believe and I always mess those up. Is that right or wrong? See, I love it. None of you guys know. This is great. All right, just don't tell my wife. It's what? Beavers? Oh, that does. I forgot the L. Oh, man. See, now you're just throwing me off. All right, y'all know what I'm trying to say here. Believers. This is great. I'm going to get so much crap for this. Fantastic. Here we go. Let's try it again. There we go. There it is. Believers. There we go. Yes, it can be done. I was a believer. All right. And then I'm going to go to this place where it'll be like kind of a deacon and overseer. Okay? Now, this is a mountain, guys, right? This is a journey. I'm not saying, these are just the kind of the big mile markers, but we're all on some level of this journey. Okay? We're all on some level of that. Oh, can you guys see it there over here? I guess you got that. Yeah. So we're all on some point in this journey. But for men of Faithbridge, this is my challenge to you guys, to be your brother's keeper, because remember, that was the whole theme, right? This whole semester has been about, how do I be a brother's keeper? How can I be a brother's keeper if all of us are on some different place? Because what I'm not saying is, in order to be a brother's keeper, you got to be an overseer. I didn't say that. But to be a brother's keeper, first thing is I got to be honest as to what position am I on my journey, of faith? Have I gone from lost to seeking? Like, am I seeking something? As like, am I feeling that conviction of, man, there's something stirring in me that I feel a little broken? And what's that thing? Because again, the entire book of the Bible, that's what I want to even challenge us to say this too, is, guys, do we know where this points? Do we know this is the word of God, but the whole story is about who? Where does this point to? Somebody. Jesus, right? So do we know that this whole thing is about him? Do we understand that? So we've got to be on this trajectory. So it's okay to say, Danny, I don't have it figured out. We got to be honest. Also, like, I would challenge the guy who comes up and goes, Danny, I'm an overseer. I'm like, ooh, hang on. You know, usually overseers, the wise of the room, are not the first ones that stand up and go, I got it all figured out. We never say that, right? You know, and then you would say, I think maybe you might still be a little further down the line, right? So we're honest with ourselves. And then we're constantly continuing to seek Christ. It's never enough. Guys, never has an overseer said, I've reached the top. It's never enough. We want more and more and more and more, and we want those behind us to want more, right? So can you, this is my challenge, you may know the word of God, but can you articulate who Christ is in your life? Okay, this is a challenge that we say at the opportunity to heard of Kingdom Leadership. We ask everybody who leads a table, this is a challenge to my table leaders too. We ask every leader, every grow group leader, can you define life before and life after Christ? Was there that Christ moment? So can you articulate who Jesus is to you? And again, guys, if you're still trying to figure that out, that is absolutely okay. I go back to my first point. Just be honest where you are. That's all. Okay? But in order to keep moving up, you got to know, who is Jesus to me, right? My picture of Jesus when I was living in fear of God was very different than where I am today. Does that make sense? So I want more of him. Then the other one, I love my brother Pratik, because as we were talking about this, he landed those words perfectly when we were talking about, like, brother's keeper. And he goes, yeah, because a guy who was honest with himself and does this, he would encourage his brothers up the mountains. I'm like, that's a good word. A brother's keeper who's honest with himself, seeking Christ, will encourage those who are behind him. You're going to be looking, going, look, if, let's be honest, if you're still here, again, as long as you're moving upward, that's what I care about. But you still may be more afraid of God than in love with God. But this is better than being completely ignorant of our sin. So are you at least reaching down behind you saying, hey guys, I'm on a journey, come with me, right? Reach down, just like encouraging your brothers. Because if we pretend to be something that we're not, and we're not honest with ourselves, it doesn't become encouragement, it becomes, let me force my will on you. This goes back to the, if we were really worshiping Jesus, it would look like this. If you were really a Christian, you would act like this. You would look like this. You would speak like this. It feels a little forceful, right? So that's where my challenge to us is, are we encouraging or are we forcing? There's a difference there. And then the last one would be, we're seeking that overseer ahead of us, right? So we're looking upward, okay? I'm reaching down to grab my buddy and pull him with me, but I'm also keeping an eye on who's ahead of me, who's gone before me, and making sure, is he walking in the dust of Christ? Because I want to follow that guy, because he'll pull me to that next logical step. There's always somebody ahead of me and always somebody behind me. That's what this should look like. We just got to be honest again with where we are and don't settle. That's my challenge to the men of Faith Ridge. Don't settle with where you're at. So guys, I have seen some of y'all in this room for two, fifth semester here. Y'all been with me since day one. I'm praying that you were not still, whatever mark on the line you are, I pray that we have moved further than where we started together. And some of us have to go, man, maybe it is time that I take that next step. Reach out to me going, Danny, I'm feeling this, like, do I need to start a table? Do I need to start a group? Do I need to start discipling people? By the way, I want to introduce you to Mark Harmon and Eric Lewis, our incredible disciple makers, and they're trying to develop what this is going to look like. So maybe you're challenged with yourself going, what's the next step for me? Where do I got to go? Should I start discipling somebody? Be asking yourself those questions. Don't settle for just, I'm okay. It's all good. Okay? My encouragement is for those guys who've been journeying with me, we better be leading together now. For those that just came in this semester, they're like, man, this is all new to me, Danny. I'm so lost. I'm still just figuring this out. Great. Let me introduce you to a man who's been doing it for 2.5 years who can help carry you forward. We tracking? Okay. So That's the challenge I have for you guys. And I want to close with this before we get into our discussions. The key here is going back to what Paul said, is back to the point. He did not say that the law is bad, right? We're not tossing it out. We need to speak the truth. There is an element of truth speaking. But what I want to challenge you guys on is, what is that truth? Because the reality is evangelical Christians, who we are in this room, that's what Faith Ridge is. Evangelical Christians speak one message very clearly together, but in different languages, which means they may worship a little different than Faith Ridge does. Faith Ridge worships a little different than they do. But is the message Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died for my sins, and I have freedom and new life in him when I believe in him? That's the message. Anything that deviates from that or adds to it or changes it is when we need to speak truth. I am not going to speak truth to you. And guys, I've had some of those thoughts. Bitterness can well up. Criticisms can well up. We've all experienced those moments going, and if you've been in if you've gone to church a long time, I've been to a lot of different kind of churches. And I'm realizing that, I just have a certain way that I enjoy worship. It's got nothing to do with whether or not this church is a good church that believes in Jesus or doesn't based on their worship. It's, does the message change? That's what we have to ask ourselves. So here's my challenge, is when somebody deviates from the message of the gospel, that's when you can speak truth and say, no. But I'm not going to judge my brother to say, dude, you're still drinking and you were just here the other night at the men's study? You're not a Christian. Whoa. You say, no, you're still trying to figure this out. Let me walk with you. Let me encourage you, not judge you based on performance. We tracking? And again, no condemnation from here because we're all on it together. We good? All right. So that's what I want to leave us with tonight. That's what Paul was trying to cover with the church of Ephesus, is saying, don't change the message, guys, but let's be journeying together and let's pull the guys along with us. So I'm going to pray for us, pray over this, that it would be received well, that y'all would reflect on this. And then my encouragement at your tables is we don't have any discussion questions, because I want y'all to talk about this, the message tonight. I want you to talk about your soaps, and I want you to just explore. And then the other thing is next week is going to be that live podcast panel that we're trying to get a QR code up here that the table leaders can scan and shoot questions to us in advance. So we're going to have Mike Whitaker is going to be back. Rick Burden, I'm excited, is going to join us. Y'all, anybody know Rick? Y'all know Rick? Yeah, he's a legend at Faith Ridge. So he's going to be on the panel with us. I'm excited. And then we've got Martin's going to be back up with us next week as well. So on this panel, and it's a great chance, and I'll be moderating. Just make sure they stay in line. But it'll be a great chance for us to dive further into some of these questions that maybe haven't been answered. Because again, there's a lot of meat in 1 Timothy that can flush some things out. They're like, wait a second, what did he mean by that? So with that, I want to pray for it. And then you guys just jump into your soap discussions and tonight's message. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for tonight and for this time and for this space. Lord, I thank you for putting this message, not even just on my heart, but I know Pratik gave his Monday message today that was very much in the same vein. Things have been happening at Faith Ridge, again, in line with this same vein. What is the message that we're speaking? What is it that we're teaching? What is it that we're showing people? So Lord, thank you for what you're doing. And even in the finer details that we don't even see and how you're moving, Lord, thank you. And I pray over these men tonight that you would encourage them, that they would rise up and they would be honest and they would move forward and leading others well with them, but then following those who are carrying the faith very importantly in their hands and holding what you have entrusted us, like you did entrust with Paul. So Father, we thank you, we trust you, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.